Welcome. You're listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. You can join us for virtual worship every Sunday at roswellpres.org. Thanks for listening.
Well, again, welcome to Roswell Presbyterian Church. My name is Jeff Myers, one of the pastors here, and it's so good to be in worship with you kicking off the week together. I do want you to know about a special retirement luncheon we're having to celebrate over 25 years of ministry as our office manager. Carmen Ebbing has served faithfully here for so many years, often in unsung, unseen ways, making all of this possible and happening. So we're going to have a luncheon to celebrate her ministry and retirement. It will be in Alderman Hall after the 11 o'clock service on March 24th, which is Palm Sunday. So you can register for that on the church website at roswellpres.org. We're going to tell some great stories, have fun time celebrating her, but we want to send her off and really share our gratitude and thankfulness for all the ways she's served here at RPC. Well, today, we're going to continue our sermon series, The Prayers We Pray. We're looking at seven great prayers of the Christian tradition. We've looked at the Lord's Prayer, which kind of is the foundation for all Christian prayer. We looked at the Serenity Prayer. Last week, we looked at the Instrument of Peace Prayer. And today, we're going to look at a prayer written by St. Patrick. I'm calling it the Christ Be With Me Prayer. You can see it under a bunch of different titles. I've selected just a section of the prayer for us to focus in on this morning. St. Patrick lived in the 5th century, and yet his words are still relevant to us today. I've chosen Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, which is one of the great passages about prayer in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul. So let us open our hearts, our minds, and our ears for the word of the Lord. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the middle of the 5th century, at the age of 16, St. Patrick was ripped from his family in Britain and taken into slavery to become a herdsman in Ireland. And there, in captivity, he served for 6 years. Until eventually, he escaped captivity and went back home to Britain. And several years after being back home, God spoke to him in a dream. And guess where God called him? Back to Ireland. He was called to take, for the first time, the good news of the Christian gospel to Ireland, and that's what he did. Although he felt an acute sense of fear, he was able to overcome his fear because of the transformative presence of Christ in his life. Helped him overcome his fear. And even though he lived in the second half of the 5th century, his words are as relevant to us today as they were to him back then. It speaks of our innate human desire to experience God, to experience God in our life. In our scripture passage today, the Apostle Paul speaks of God's Spirit speaking or communicating to our spirits. This is a spirituality I think we all seek. It's become fashionable of late to say, I'm spiritual, but not religious. Has anybody heard somebody say, I'm spiritual, not religious? But really, to me, I think you need both spirituality and religion to flourish as a follower of Jesus Christ. Religion is a word that comes from the Latin ligare. It literally means to bind, to order, to bring together. Religion does something about bringing life experiences and ordering them, making some sense out of them. Religion has to do with liturgy and songs and habits and rituals and practices. That's religion. But spirituality is something completely different. I was given this image that I just love of the naturalist writer John Muir, lived from 1838 to about 1914. And he spent much of his life in the Sierra Mountains. And there's this great story of John Muir. He's in the mountains in this cabin, and surrounding this cabin is this forest of Douglas fir trees. And one night, a windstorm comes through, and he's looking out his window, and he just can't help. John Muir was a wild guy. He would have loved that second song. He just looked at me. He can't help himself. He goes outside and starts to climb a Douglas fir tree until he gets to the very top, and he begins to sway in the wind. And he does that for several hours. And that is what the spiritual life is often like. So spirituality, that's what we want. Energy, excitement, being blown to and for, back and forth. But eventually the wind stops. And John has to come down from that tree. And he needs to build a fire. And so he begins to gather sticks. And he binds them together. And eventually he's able to start a fire. That's religion. You have the spirituality of the tree blowing in the windstorm, but you also need the religion that binds things together. We need warm feelings, but we also need to balance budgets. We need beautiful music, but we also need to make sure the guitar is tuned. We need inspiration and excitement, but we also need strategic planning. We need both spirituality and religion. Presbyterian churches have a reputation for organization, for binding things together. Presbyterians can often think and reason and argue until they're blue in the face, and that's why I chose to be a Presbyterian. But what do we do when life cannot be easily organized? When it cannot be bound together? What do we do when we encounter the mystery of life? The mystery of pain and tragedy? The mystery of beauty, goodness? What do we do when words escape us? This is when we need a spirituality. This is when we speak of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need our spirits to connect to God's Spirit. And because God is Spirit, God can only be seen with the eyes of faith. Christian tradition, down through the ages, has hypothesized that human beings are created with a special spiritual sense for God. Refer to it as the sensus divinitatis, the sense of the divine. You'll see this all the way back in Thomas Aquinas, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards. Diverse group. And they say, just like we have senses of eyes to see, ears to hear, tongues to taste, noses to smell, so we also are created with a spiritual sense. How to sense God. Maybe one of the best descriptions of this spiritual sense comes in John Calvin's Institute of the Christian Religion, written by that great reformer in the 16th century. It's in chapter 3, and it's subtitled, "The Knowledge of God Naturally Implanted in the Human Mind." Listen to what he writes. "There exists in the human mind, and indeed by natural instinct, some sense of deity." That means the sensus divinitatis. we hold to be beyond dispute, since God himself, to prevent any man from pretending ignorance, has endowed all men with some idea of his Godhead. He goes on. This is not a doctrine which is first learned at school, but one as to which every human is, from the womb, his own master, one which nature herself allows no individual to forget. God has created us and implanted with us a sense of the divine. God has made it possible for our spirits to connect, to even know God's spirit. And sometimes we can't help ourselves from sensing God. One instance of this I can never forget. This is Pearl, for you young people don't know who Pearl Jam is, but this is, back when I was a young person, it was an important band, and they were Seattle. Eddie Vedder was the lead singer, and they were performing in Seattle on this gorgeous day. You know, it's always rainy, but it's outside, it's gorgeous out. You know, and they're singing, and in between songs there would be some banter, and Eddie Vedder's like, "Thank God, this is a beautiful day. Wait, I don't believe in God." And it was like this really, like he wanted to thank a bigger power for the grace he'd been given, for the beauty. And he couldn't help himself. And then he says, "Wait." And it was just funny to watch him. Sometimes human beings can't help ourselves, but have a sense of the divine. Sense God through a beautiful sunset, an exquisite painting, falling in love. But even though we sense God, sometimes it's difficult for us to put these experiences into words. Words will eventually escape us in all situations, whether they be good or bad. Life will lead to a loss of words. And sometimes we can only groan. Paul writes in verses just after our passage, he says, "We ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." It says, when life makes us groan, the Holy Spirit groans with us. There are some experiences in our lives that cannot be put into words. They are literally incommunicable. They escape even feeble description. Paul knew this about human life. He'd experienced it really tangibly for himself. I just took a list of some of the things he experienced. Imprisonment, physical pain and agony, guilt and shame, abuse, the tragic loss of loved ones, broken relationships. He knew how difficult life can be. But this led Paul, in a letter to the church in Corinth, to say, even though he'd experienced this, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." What could provide Paul such courage? What gives him hope and faith in such difficult circumstances? What allowed him to face despair and yet not let despair have the last word? Several years ago, my wife, Courtney, was in law school, and she was working at a legal clinic for folks who couldn't afford hiring a lawyer. The cases were fairly simple, but they really made a big difference to these clients who needed help. She was living in Palo Alto, California, and so there were many Spanish speakers who would come to this clinic. She had taken 6 years of Spanish, so oftentimes the Spanish speakers were funneled in her direction. One day, a guy came in. He was seeking restitution for what he said was his broken windshield. And he begins to explain his case to Courtney in Spanish. He says, "There is a man who lives next to me, and in his yard there is a palm tree." She says, "Okay, good." And he says, "The tree has a branch." She says, "Okay, I gotcha. And my car was parked under the branch." She says, "Okay, go on." And he says, "And my car's windshield was smashed." And then Courtney says, "By what?" And then he says this, "Semillas de palma." Now, she knew that semillas means seed in Spanish. And she says, your windshield was smashed by a seed? Now, being from Atlanta, she's like, that's some really heavy-duty pollen. And he says, yeah, a semillas fell and smashed my windshield. She says, are you sure that a seed fell and broke your windshield? And then he says, sí. And you know that means yes in Spanish, right? He says, yes. And she is just befuddled and is like, what is he talking about? And just then there's a man walking down the hallway, a native speaker of Spanish, who must have heard the conversation because he leans in as he's walking by and says, coconut. And he keeps walking. She goes, ah, a coconut fell on your windshield, a very big seed. Oftentimes, we need a translator to get our meaning across. We don't have the words to express our emotions, our experiences. And the Apostle Paul says, this is where the Spirit prays on our behalf. He writes, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The Holy Spirit, Paul says, is our translator when we are at a loss for words. The Spirit steps in and speaks in our weakness. When our words are too weak, God speaks for us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, quite literally, is the living power and presence of Christ with us. It's what St. Patrick prays and speaks about in his prayer. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me. The Holy Spirit communicates with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit is so close to us, it knows how to speak in ways that cannot be described. Anne Lamott, the great spiritual writer, says, really all prayers come down to three words, help, thanks, and wow. The Holy Spirit communicates for us, but that's not it. The Holy Spirit also comforts us. In the Gospel of John, there's this great passage where the disciples ask Jesus, they say, show us God the Father. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they're kind of mystified by this. And then he has some bad news for them. He says, soon I am going to have to leave you. And they're like, we're just getting to know you. They're quite distraught and not wanting him to leave. He says, but it's a good thing that I depart from you. Why? Because he says, and then I love the King James Version, John 14:11. He says, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus says he's going away so that he might send the Holy Spirit. And he says the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Christ's living presence with us here and now. The Spirit is the presence of Christ comforting us. This word for comforter there is paraclete. It's a legal word. If you would go to court, somebody goes with you to offer you comfort. Who speaks on your behalf when you don't have words to speak in your own defense? That person is a paraclete, is the comforter. And that is the role that the Holy Spirit and Christ sending the Spirit to us is Christ's living presence with us. And this can lead Paul to write, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. As we become attentive to Christ's presence through the Holy Spirit in our own lives, the power of the Spirit draws us up out of ourselves, and we begin to notice the Spirit of Christ in others and in the world. Did you notice the second half of St. Patrick's prayer? It kind of shifts modes. Listen to this. He says, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger, says, as we experience Christ's presence in our own lives, we begin to notice Christ's presence in others' lives. Yes, even strangers. Maybe my favorite articulation of this idea comes from one of my favorite writers, Marilynne Robinson. In 2005, she published a book called Gilead, won the Pulitzer Prize. It's written from the perspective, it's in epistolatory form, so it's letters that this guy, John Ames, writes to his young son. See, John has spent most of his life as a pastor in Gilead, Iowa. And he's writing to his son, who's just a young boy at the time, because he's been diagnosed with a terminal heart condition. He's not going to survive to see his son become a teenager and adult. And so he begins to write letters of advice to his young son, things he would have told him about life later on. And in one of these letters, John Ames writes, "This is an important thing, which I have told many people, and which my father told me, and which his father told him. When you encounter another person, when you have dealings with anyone at all, it is as if a question is being put to you. So you must think, what is the Lord asking of me in this moment, in this situation?" Listen to that again. When you encounter another person, when you have dealings with anyone at all, it is as if a question is being put to you. So you must think, what is the Lord asking of me in this moment, in this situation? This means for every person you meet that is present to you, they become a question of what God is asking of you in that moment. It could be through a friend, your children, your parents, a spouse, a neighbor, even your enemy. Our relationships are reconstructed when we see the power of the Spirit in our lives, and then we see it in others' lives. So then we can pray, "Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger." In praying St. Patrick's Prayer, we begin to notice the Spirit's presence, and we begin to ask dangerous questions. What is God asking of me through this person? Who can I serve? Do people feel important around me? Do people trust me? Do they come to me for encouragement? Have I helped someone heal a relationship? Is someone's life better because I'm in it? These are the kinds of questions we ask, empowered by the Spirit, to see the Spirit at work in the world, to see God presenting questions to us to respond to. This transformative presence of the Spirit could call a young man who had been enslaved to leave his home and to go back to that country and to take the good news, take it to Ireland. It's the true freedom that Jesus Christ offers. Just imagine how that prayer can transform us. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this great prayer that St. Patrick gave us. We thank you for your empowering presence in our lives, Lord. I pray that it might draw us up out of ourselves and into the world to respond to the questions you pose to us, to the callings you have, Lord, that we might be your witnesses to a world that desperately needs it. In your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. Please let us know you're here by visiting roswellpres.org and signing our digital friendship register. May the grace and love of God be with you today and throughout the rest of your week. Thanks for listening.